It's 5 o'clock in Pirate Country, and it's time to get pumped up with the P-Man. Hit the door and hit the road. 94.3 The Game is going to get you home, and the P-Man's not holding back.
Yes! Yes! Pirates win! Pirates win!
Bring on the Patrick Johnson Show on 94.3 The Game.
Holy mackerel! Oh, my goodness!
The flagship station of the ECU Pirates.
Hey, welcome in on this Monday after St. Patty's Day. Hello again, everybody, from the Working Man's Beach. I am merely Patrick Johnson as we bring you in on this EJ Show Monday, the day after Selection Sunday. Pirates get the sweep in baseball this weekend. We'll talk with Cliff Godwin. Steve and I go on the beat today with Inside the ECU Clubhouse with Coach G. So that is coming up in just a little bit. Right now, though, we have Philip the Ref Pilkington in tow. Pilk, great job on Friday. Appreciate your help there as you got everybody ready for the big Pirate Sports weekend and what was going on all around the world of sports. Did you have a nice weekend, Pilk?
I did. It was a good weekend. A little bit of a busy weekend. Traveled to Winston-Salem and back, but had a great time working with Rob Maloney for the first time. First time I'd ever called any basketball with him, and we had a great time. North Pitt girls, congratulations on your state championship, and also a big shout-out to Farmville Central boys. Came up just short, but Coach Williford, the real Larry Legend, doing one heck of a job there. And, you know, it was unfortunate to see him lose, but a hard-fought game in overtime.
You know, I got a chance to listen to you and Rob on Saturday afternoon and after the ECU softball game and the telecast on ESPN Plus. And so I was listening to you guys, and it was just back and forth. It was like a pro game. I mean, Farmville would go down and hit a three. Reidsville would go down and hit a three. Farmville would go down and get a dunk, and then Reidsville would get a hoop. I mean, it was back and forth action, and you guys did a superb job on WTIB, our sister station, and the IBX media app. So kudos, Philip the Ref Pilkey. I listened to your halftime, too, which I heard you putting all of your experience together to keep the halftime show moving, because all of that experience hosting programming on the radio station and on Talk of the Town and on the ECU Sports Network shined through on Saturday.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. Obviously, you're one heck of a broadcaster, and learned a lot from you, so I appreciate it, Patrick.
Well, all the mistakes you can blame on me. That's how it usually works, Pilk. So, all right. So, American gets two in. Obviously, Temple with perhaps the upset of the AAC tournament on Saturday, knocking off FAU. FAU still gets in as an 8 seed. There was some scuttlebutt that they would be a first four team, but I just didn't think that was going to be a possibility because of the fact that they had a pretty impressive resume. And I'll say this, this shows you, in my opinion, the American is a tougher league than it is given credit for, because FAU didn't run roughshod through the American like a lot of people thought. And then you have UAB, winning the championship. This is all good news for East Carolina, because it's all good news for the league. The bad news, in my opinion, in the league is two newcomers. Granted, a team that went to the Final Four last year and the other team that won the NIT are the representatives out of the American this year in the NCAA tournament. But the American gets two. I understand the Memphis thing, more on them in a minute, but I think they had some impressive wins and maybe should have warranted some closer consideration. Petering out when they did, though, in the conference tournament really hampered them. And then obviously South Florida just, again, they weren't planning on finishing in first this year. They were just trying to establish a culture, win some games early. They had no idea they'd go on a 15-game win streak in conference. So their non-conference was not very strong. And thus the resume was not strong enough to get in. Even if they'd made the finals and lost, I don't think they'd have gotten in. But UAB deserves a lot of credit. They blew out Temple. Andy Kennedy's a heck of a coach. Pirates, of course, lost to them this year in Birmingham and the only meeting between the two. And I think the interesting thing here is you got an opportunity to earn units from two different programs. And, you know, they're in games they can win. Obviously, FAU Northwestern can go either way. And UAB is a 12. So, I mean, they could, you know, those 12-5 upsets happen. And again, like Houston the last few years, when there's music or when there's advancement in the tournament, that's money that goes to ECU. As I just was talking to my friend over there, big EC, her family's a big ECU fan. See, she's excited about the whole thing. But, you know, when you look at the tournament as a whole, I think NC State's addition is pretty good. I'm no Wolfpack fan, Pilk. I'll root for them when they play Carolina like I did on Saturday night. Otherwise, I got no use for the Pack. But I can't help but kind of be intrigued by their basketball run, because everybody's talking about 5 games in 5 days. They played on the final Saturday of the regular season. So in an 8-day period, they played 6 games. Granted, 5 in a row that they won, but it was 6 games in 8 days. That's draining. And I'm glad that they're on Thursday night at 9:40, so they have plenty of time to get rest and get their legs under them. DJ Burns is a basketball savant. His touch is amazing. When he, I'll say this, and Pilk, you kind of know this, as I don't think I'm painting you with a broad stroke here that's not warranted. As a fellow ABC-er, when Burns hit the three, I thought, okay, Pack might have a shot here.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And it was kind of one of those things where, because of what history has told us with State and Carolina, would happen, and then Carolina would do something. And you're like, dang it. Those darn Tar Heels are going to find a way again. And you
I got
know,
sucked in.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, Patrick, where it's like, you can't pull for State, but if they're going to break this drought, having not won the ACC championship since 87, because they're any better team for them to beat than Carolina. Because, look, Carolina fans, had they lost to Duke, they'd have been like, well, dang, Duke's a top 10 team. Can't beat the same top 10 team 3 times in 1 year. It's just not realistic. There's nothing that irks those Tar Heel fans any more than losing to NC State. So I do love that part. Well, I don't like the Pack,
Duke obsession from UNC and its fan base is crazy. I mean, how many times did we see someone hold up their phone and it say, where's Duke, behind the announcers on ESPN? They're so obsessed with that program. It's kind of sad, really. But, you know, the antics before the game, which a lot of people are, you know, oh, they got their just desserts. No, that's just guys being guys, kids being kids. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you're the champs of the league. You better have some moxie, for crying out loud. You're the regular season champs of the league. But, I don't know if we're invoking the cardiac Pack of 83, but I do think it's a pretty cool story. And I'm happy for Kevin Keats. I've covered Kevin in the past. I know him a little bit. Great guy. Heck of a nice guy. Always giving of his time when I've talked with him. And I'm happy for him personally. And, you know, I will say I'm happy for the Wolfpack fans, because they are a loyal bunch. Delusional, but loyal. Most of them. I like that DJ Burns said, for those that got off the bandwagon, welcome back. So, Memphis, St. John's, Indiana, I believe, Oklahoma, Pitt, among those that did not want to go to the NIT. Wake Forest did. And so this is what Tom Crean, who I really like on the air. You know, Crean coached Marquette, coached at Indiana, coached at Georgia. Crean lost a couple games, I know, as the Marquette coach at ECU. But I really like this comment, what he said about these teams that are not wanting to go play in the NIT, including Memphis. And I think there's something afoot with Memphis. I don't think that is just we're turning it down. I think there's a lot of heat for the first time ever on Penny there, because they lost to the 12 seed in the conference tournament, Wichita State. And they finished 5th, for crying out loud, with all that talent. Here is Tom Crean from ESPN on teams deciding not to go play in the NIT.
There's no question about it. I would want to coach. I would want to develop my team. You've got bigger staffs than you've ever had. There's plenty of time for the portal. There's plenty of time to talk to recruits. There's plenty of time to negotiate NIL deals. There's not plenty of time to play. There's not plenty of time to get your players on the floor and give them a chance to get better. There's not plenty of time for guys to continue to play that may never get to play again. And that, to me, is absolutely ridiculous. It's each coach's choice. I get it. But if you take away a chance to play the games, to put your team on the floor, let them opt out. All right, the bowl season has it all the time. Let it happen. Who cares? Give your players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, wow, and don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I agree with him. You're doing a disservice to the kids here.
100%.
And if you're Penny and you don't want to coach, take your top assistant and let him coach the team. Get your ass out there and recruit. If you're Rick Pitino, go get some pasta and some wine at a fancy New York restaurant and go out and get recruiting. Put together those NIL deals. Do what they do in the summer league in the NBA. Those head coaches aren't coaching. They're letting guys on their staff get head coaching experience. But don't do a disservice to the people in your program that are still trying to develop and the people who have given to your program and have been loyal to your program that have maybe been there multiple years, and this could be their last basketball game in your program.
I agree with you 100%, Patrick, so I want to raise a question to you.
Sure.
In the past, if you won your conference regular season, and this is mostly applying to mid-majors, you got into the NIT. They've scrapped
that. That's not the case anymore.
They've scrapped that to put more prestigious programs in. If all these prestigious programs, they need to go back to it. Teams that went 30-2 deserve to play some sort of postseason basketball. Put those teams back. Those kids deserve postseason play.
They've moved it out to Vegas now. So the NCAA, which controls this, has this notion of we've got to look out for the big boys. And so they've done that, and the big boys in kind have said, we don't want to play. There's half a dozen so-called P5 programs, and I'll throw Memphis in there as a power program, obviously with what they do and how they operate. They're a power program with their budget, maybe not results. And for them to just not give their kids the opportunity to play is criminal in my mind. If the player doesn't want to play, they'll opt out. They'll go ahead and get in the portal. They'll go ahead and say, hey, I'm not going to play. I'm over it. But there are guys on that roster that could benefit from the practices and from playing. And there's guys who probably want a last go around on the roster. They don't like the way they went. They don't want their last game to be a loss in the conference tournament with no postseason. So, yeah, I think the whole thing is a true disservice. And it started with North Carolina last year. You know, maybe they're too good for the NIT. I don't know. But when you make this decision consciously because you don't like a UAB final against North Texas in Vegas, I got news for you. Outside of Memphis, I just can't see any fan bases being so gung-ho about their basketball teams that they would travel out to Vegas to watch them play in the NIT championship. So give, as Pilk said, programs that have earned that distinction because maybe they're in a lower mid-major league and won the regular season and lost in the conference tournament, give them the opportunity to play in the postseason. Give them the chance to go play in Vegas. Because St. John's, unless they were playing it in the Garden, their fans aren't going to show up. You know, Pitt, Mark Miller might go to Vegas, but he's rich. I'm kidding, Mark.
Mark would definitely go to Vegas. Mark was at Philly spring training last week. He would 100% go to Vegas.
Oh, he would go to Vegas. He would go to Vegas.
He loves his Panther. He is a loyal fan. There is maybe not a more loyal fan I know than Mark Miller.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not saying there's fans that wouldn't go, but I mean, outside of Memphis, nobody travels out of this group we're talking about that well. Oklahoma, they're worried about spring football now. Indiana might have some people that would have gone. But we're deprived of the NCAA tournament of Indiana State. And Larry Nerd. Sycamore should have got in. Let's do a quick Pirate report as we go to break. Greg Laster is going to join us in a few minutes. Big event coming from Champions Health here in Greenville that's happening Wednesday at the Convention Center. So we're going to tell you about that. with Greg Laster in our next segment. But right now, a Pirate Report.
And now, Patrick Johnson with today's Pirate Report on the flagship station of the ECU Pirates, 94.3 The Game.
On Sunday, Coach Cliff Godwin said his team did not play well, but they did enough to win.
Yeah, it's hard to win college baseball games, and they're a good offense. I mean, they put up runs even when they haven't won games, and our pitching had done a really good job up until whatever that was, the last two innings. But we're a little bit thin in the bullpen today. Schenkman wasn't available, and we knew that could be a possibility, and I'm glad we scored 8 runs. I didn't think we played great, but we played good enough to win, so we'll take it.
More from Coach G and his thoughts on the bullpen.
Danny came in there and got us out of a jam. One pitch, one out. It was first and third. And, you know, at that time, you didn't think it was that big a deal, but it was a huge deal. And so then he went back out for 2 innings, put up zeros. Eric Ritchie had a clean inning even after we made an error behind him. And then AG came in and, closed us out. Yeah, he gave up a 2-run homer, but we were up 4. It was a big swing by Carter Cunningham with 2 strikes. Joey at second base to give us that insurance run.
And Coach Godwin on the day that some of his vets had at the plate.
I thought J-Dub had a good day at the plate. 2-run single, and then he hits the opposite field home run. And JC's been putting together quality at bats for sure. And Starling, gets us going with a double with a runner at first base and 2 outs, and then also got a drag bunt down. So he's coming. He's a lot closer, and he's going to continue to get better.
And speaking of those veterans, here is Jacob Starling when asked about the power that he has shown.
Put in a lot of work in the offseason, trying to get bigger, faster, stronger. Haven't been able to show it as much as I'd like to, but it's all right. It's coming.
Also coming to you, Jacob Starling, on his 2-hit day that he had on Sunday.
First inning, JC got on base. Our whole plan was try to be the aggressor today, try to score first. I got a good swing off, and then got my first drag bunt of the year, so that was cool.
And JC, Jacob Jenkins Coward, on throwing guys out from the outfield.
Yeah, it's something I definitely worked on. It's gotten better since I got here as a freshman, and it was more about just cleaning up my arm action rather than arm strength. So I think once I worked with the coaches on that, it's become a strength for me.
And he talked about his 2-hit day.
First one, I just knew I was gonna. We were attacking Heater, and I was told myself I wasn't allowed to be late, so I got Heater in and just was able to get a good swing off. And the second one, sent on off speed and got in on me a little bit, Heater in, but I was able to, fist it into the outfield. So it was good to see that one drop.
And he talked about this being the final non-conference weekend series. Pirates will start conference play next weekend on the road.
Yeah, I know. Conference play is coming up. We've been looking up to this moment, just trying to take things day by day. We got to take care of business on the road Tuesday, and then we'll go on the road again this weekend. We're excited.
And a little bit of breaking news. Brandon Johnson has entered the transfer portal for ECU basketball. No surprise there. All right, timeout, and when we come back, Greg Laster will join us. We'll also hear more from Cliff Godwin coming up later on. It is the Patrick Johnson Show, Inside Pirate Athletics, coming up tonight from Tiebreakers at 6 o'clock here on 94.3 The Game, ECU Sports Network, the IBX Media app, and WNCT.com. Coming up on Wednesday, it is the Eastern North Carolina High School Bench Press Competition. Pilk, you're not eligible, but here to tell us about who is and what's going to be happening and what's up for grabs, one of our great friends, Greg Laster from Champions Fitness, joins us here on the Patrick Johnson Show. Champions Health and Fitness, I should say.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Great to see you, Greg. How you doing?
Patrick, I'm doing great. Again, thank you so much for giving us some time here on your show. It really means a lot.
Well, I appreciate you taking some time with us here. All right, so this is happening on Wednesday. It's at the Convention Center, and this is sort of the relaunch. I mean, it seems like a pretty self-explanatory event, but this is sort of the relaunch of something that was done many, many years ago, from what I understand.
We did this many, many years ago, and it was very, very popular. The kids enjoyed it so much, and, you know, they work hard during the off season and in the weight room, and it just really gives the coaches a chance to display the kids that have really worked hard. And it also gives the kids some recognition amongst maybe some college coaches that normally would be, you know, that would be passed by, that really they've just kind of been overlooked as far as really working hard. And so, you know, most cases the weight room is associated with the football program, but it also supports some other sports as well, but mainly for the football program.
Yeah, absolutely. The event is at 1 next Wednesday at the convention center. Is that correct?
It's at 1 o'clock. The kids will get there should get there around 12. We've got to register the kids and get them into proper weight classes and that kind of thing. And it'll be a very, it's kind of an honor system. We've got about 13 different weight classes, and the coaches will tell us what weight classes the kids will go in, and we'll probably randomly weigh the winners of the weight classes to kind of, you know, to give it more of an honest appeal, you might say. But it's going to be a fun time. We're going to have professional photographers there that'll be taking pictures and videos, so these coaches can take the pictures and download them and frame them and put them up in their weight room, which will be up there. I think the kids will love that. We'll have pictures of the winners. We're going to have individual trophies. The really cool thing we're going to have is, hey, Patrick, you know, when these kids score a touchdown or they get an interception or they do something great, they'll hand them something, you know, in their hands, like a championship belt. And so I'm actually having a championship belt made up that'll say Eastern Carolina High School Bench Press Competition Champions 2024. It'll be a regular championship belt that the coach can take back and actually hang up in the weight room. So that'll be their belt that they can hang up and display, you know, some more motivation for the kids to look at.
I would just wear the belt over the shoulder like they do in pro wrestling and everything and walk around town.
If I won. That'll work. Yes, sir. That'll work.
Greg Lassiter is with us from Champions Health and Fitness in Greenville. It's the Eastern Carolina High School Bench Press Competition. It is coming up Wednesday, and it's at 1 o'clock. Now, you said register. Ideally, there would be a pre-register prior to Wednesday. How do people look more into this? How do people register if they want to pre-register? Or is it just best to maybe get word to you, hey, we're planning on coming, and then be there that day to register about an hour before?
We have worked hard to make this a team event. We sent out 52 flyers to 52 different high schools. Unfortunately, I found out that most of the flyers were trash. They were just thrown away. They were kind of looked at as junk mail. And so I have myself visited probably about 12 different schools, gone into school, shook hands with the coach. I didn't have one coach tell me that they even knew anything about this, which was very disappointing. So, you know, we were hoping to get about 10 schools, and we wanted to have it on a Wednesday so it wouldn't interfere with anybody's weekend plans.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, you know, we've got commits from Washington. We've got a commitment from Conley. We've got a commitment from North Pitt. I'm waiting to hear from some other schools. That's the only three schools right now that we've actually got a commitment from. I'm at a point to just tell people, if you're listening to this broadcast and you know a kid out there that's in high school that's working hard and he wants to come compete in this event, just tell him or her to come. We would love to have them. They're more than welcome to come. And I say her because we have had some questions about having like a female class, and we would certainly be willing to accommodate that as well, because there are a lot of girl lifters out there right now as well. So we don't want to leave anybody out. But I can promise you that they will be scored separately. So
You named some of the local schools, but you said you sent stuff out to 50-plus schools. So I'm assuming – really, all of Eastern North Carolina is invited and encouraged to attend this, high schoolers.
Absolutely. And again, if a coach or a parent is listening to this broadcast and they're like, you know, well, my kid doesn't know about this, you send them. We'll take care of them. They're more than welcome to compete. They don't have to be a part of a school to compete. This year is the first year bringing this back, and we're having it at the convention center. And it's a major expense for Champions. I mean, this is not something that you put on this free. It's a major expense for Champions. We have asked the schools to make a $300 donation towards this to help us out with the expense. And the schools that are coming didn't have a problem with that at all. The other schools, I don't really know what to say on it. You know, they're just, maybe it was a timing thing. We are kind of competing with track, and you know, we got baseball games going on too, but I don't think they're on Wednesdays. And so I got with our Rob Maloney, and, you know, and we actually set the date. Rob was extremely excited about this, and I was certainly hoping that all the Pitt County schools would participate in this. And I don't really have an explanation why they're not all showing up, to be honest with you. But I can promise you, this is the first go-round, and normally the first go-round when you're bringing something back is a little rough. So we probably won't have the participation that we were hoping for. But next year, I know that some things that we can do different, I feel like we could be turning schools away. I mean, because this could be an awesome time. And I mean, think about this. You've got a chance to compete. If you're a linebacker, you could be known as the strongest linebacker in Eastern North Carolina. You could be known as the strongest offensive or defensive lineman or running back or whatever. So, you know, and it gives the kids, Patrick, it gives the kids a chance to actually see each other, you know, one-on-one versus competing across the field, and that's the only time they'll see each other for the whole year.
So, yeah. Well, in that spirit of competition, you know, it gives you a chance to perhaps have you know, some additional competition or even some friendships blossom from this. Greg, absolutely. You know, Greg, you are a great motivator in your own right. So I want you to motivate people now. I, you know, have been doing a program to drop weight. It's been successful. I'm just not an exerciser. I've tried. It's just not in my bailiwick. I'll walk, but not like I should. But, you know, there's people out there, they come up to me all the time during this thing I'm on and say, hey, how can I get, you know, involved? And, you know, it's just as, you don't have to, although we would encourage them to join Champions, you know, it's as simple as just getting moving, isn't it? And just kind of getting some good habits started, is it not?
Let me tell you a great quick story that you're going to love. Okay, so I'm at the Harley-Davidson dealership. You know, I love motorcycles. I enjoy riding all kinds of motorcycles or whatever. I see a guy that's working there. He owns a hot dog stand. He's selling hot dogs. And I go up probably to get a hot dog, to be honest with you. And he looks at me, he goes, hey, you're Greg, you own Champions. And I said, yeah, that's correct. He goes, Greg, I just want to tell you, I've lost 100 pounds. And I said, oh, you know, I was so proud to own Champions by him saying that. I said, man, that is fantastic. That is fantastic. How long have you been a member? He goes, oh, I'm not a member of Champions. I'm not a member anywhere. He said, I just changed my eating habits and I walk every day. So, Patrick, my message to people out there, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot, because we love members, and they do. I, honestly, the people that exercise and go to the gym, they go to the gym to exercise. It's not like they get caught up at home with home equipment. Well, I'll do it later. It turns into a clothes rack. They end up never using the equipment. And I can promise you that people that go to the gym that have a weight loss goal certainly have a better chance of making it as far as the goal goes. But this is a gentleman that I won't ever forget that story. You know, this is my 40th year in the health club business. But he taught me a valuable lesson that day. And the lesson is called moving. You've got to move. And if you can't out-exercise a bad diet. And sometimes you can diet and just lose the weight. But it's so much healthier to do exactly what you're doing, Patrick. Buddy, if you're walking, that's good enough. Just get out and walk and move. That's a whole lot different. It is exercising, but it's not just, you know, sitting on an exercise bike looking at a stupid movie that you don't like. I mean, you're out, you know, actually enjoying yourself outside, you're moving. But isn't that great? He lost 100 pounds just changing his diet and just walking. Now, when he said he would walk, he wouldn't walk a half a mile and go home. I mean, he would get out and walk and do a lot of walking. You know, I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but, you know, we've got a local sportscaster. I see him out walking every morning just about when I'm out early. And is it okay for me to mention his name or not?
I know who it is, but yes, we let's just BB, our guy Brian Bailey. Yeah, no, yeah, I know Brian walked. He's done that,
So impressed with his commitment. And you know, he told me, he said, he told me, he told Cliff Godwin, he said, you know, I got to find something to do. It's cold outside. And Cliff pretty much called him out and said, just wrap your rear end up real good and get out there and still do it. You know, you can still get outside and walk. It doesn't matter what the weather is. But that is a couple of stories that just really impressed me. And it's not about people that are members anywhere. They just moved. They just got out and changed their eating habits and got out and made a lifestyle change. And Philip and I were talking about you, Patrick, before we came on today. I'm so happy for you, man. I mean, if anybody sees you in person, it's one thing to see you on TV, but the change that you've made is just incredible. And I'm happy for anybody that's able to do anything like that, because I have witnessed this over the past 40 years. Lives completely changed by people just changing their diet and really taking on a healthy outlook on life. And congratulations, my friend. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Champions Greg for 40 years, and he's been changing lives. And it's the Eastern Carolina High School Bench Press Competition, 1 o'clock on Wednesday at the Greenville Convention Center. And the registration is open an hour before you can arrive there. Is there a number, though, or anywhere on the line, on the Facebook, anywhere anybody can go to get a little info before they want to get more info, Greg?
They can email me. It's very easy to email me. It's greglassiter5@gmail.com, and they're welcome to give me a call. The number is very easy to remember. It's 252-902-7070.
902-7070. Yep. Okay. Great stuff.
And they're welcome. Hey, Greg, just come.
Yeah. It'll be a fun event. Wish you the best with it. Let's promote it more next year for you. And thank you. Always great to talk to you, my friend. And I look forward to it. And is there a quick joke before we go you can give us? A quick joke, a quick anecdote. Greg is known for his comedy, among other things as well. So anything really quick you could give us for a okay. little bit of humor, a little smile here.
All right. This is dedicated to my buddy Bum Dennis over in Aiden that passed away a few years ago or so.
God rest his soul. Bum, yeah.
I love Bum Dennis. All right, I'll make this quick. Three couples go in a jewelry store. And this man walks in and starts robbing the jewelry store. And he looks over at the first couple and he looks at the man and he goes, did you see me rob this jewelry store? And the man goes, well, yeah, I'm watching, looking right at you. Bam, he shot the man dead. He looked at the second couple, kept on robbing the jewelry store. Looked at the second couple and said, looked at the man and said, did you see me rob this jewelry store? The man goes, well, yeah. Bam, shot him dead. Kept on robbing the jewelry store, looked at the third couple and looked at the man and he said, did you see me rob this jewelry store? And the man looked back at him and goes, well, no, but she did.
There it is. There it is. All right. We'll get cards and letters. All right. No, that was good. I loved it, actually. That was pretty good. That one was pretty good. All right. Hey, Greg, thank you, my friend. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Patrick, so much. Thank you.
It is the Monday Patrick Johnson Show. Don't forget, no show tomorrow. We'll be preempted by ECU baseball. And coming up tonight at 6 from Tiebreakers, it is Inside Pirate Athletics. Mike Houston joined Steven Igo and myself. Speaking of Pirate baseball, speaking of Steven Igo, those two things merge right now. Earlier today, Hoist the Colors' Steven Igo caught up with Pirate head coach Cliff Godwin. It's our weekly Inside the ECU Clubhouse segment with Coach G. Take it away, guys.
It is our weekly visit with East Carolina head coach Cliff Godwin. The Pirates coming off a 4-0 week, 7-game winning streak, now 14-4 on the season. And, Coach, you guys were challenged in the midweek, and then Columbia, of course, put up some runs on Sunday as well. But you got to be happy with a 4-0 week for the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, the end results were good. 4-0, I definitely don't think we played our best baseball all four games. Of course, there's always things you can work on, but I think our guys are eager to continue to get better, which is a good thing. And the leadership group has done a good job of making sure that we're, no matter if we're winning games or not, that we're just focused on continuing to grow. And I think that's important.
You said after yesterday's game, of course, that, you know, your teams typically do play their best baseball towards the end of the year. And You know, I kind of got the same feeling early this season, Coach. It feels like, you know, maybe not consistently playing that level of baseball that, you know, from day in and day out. But when you're 14-4, I mean, still says a lot that your team is finding ways to win maybe when they don't play their best, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, it is a trait to find ways to win when you're not playing your best baseball. You know, this group has a ton of confidence and belief, which is awesome. To the point of sometimes it maybe work against them from the standpoint. It's not arrogance. It's not that they go into any game and feel like they're just going to walk over some opponent, but they're not afraid to get down. And I told them yesterday that, and Chip can fact check me here, but it's pretty close that when we score first in the 10 years I've been a head coach that we win 88% of the games. So it might be 87%, but I was asking them, hey, would you take that at the end of the year? No offense, we've never had an 80% winning percentage at the end of any one season that I've been the head coach, but when we score first, we win 88% of the game. So we want to be more aggressive early in the game and throw the first punch. That's been one message that we're trying to get better.
Cliff Gobin with us for our weekly visit here on 94.3 The Game. And, Coach, let's go back to Tuesday, the win at UNCW. And you said it last week, and you say it, you know, every time going to Wilmington. It's just, I don't know what it is about that place. But, you know, the games are always crazy, interesting, and, you know, Tuesday was certainly that on several aspects. And I know you weren't thrilled after the game with kind of how y'all played. But still, to find a way to win at Wilmington, it's always a big deal, you know, for whoever wins that game. But just your thoughts coming out of that game now that you've had a little bit of time to reflect on it.
I'm just glad we won. That's my reflection of it. Get the heck on the bus and get back to Greenville. Because it felt every bit of, I think it was like 4 hours and 20-minute game. It felt every bit of that. It felt like it was a marathon. You know, there were some good individual performances, you know, throughout the game. Of course, we have the lead early. We give up a four spot, which I've said this, and Star knows this, but Star didn't go after a pop fly that he should have caught. And then the next guy hits a double down the right field line, and we're throwing the ball to the wrong base with a very veteran group on the field. And, you know, just the communication wasn't great, which is a standard, man. You got to communicate. And, you know, I thought that put us back on our heels, but then we take the lead, we give it back up. I mean, you know, you have two outs in the ninth inning and the game's over after JC throws the guy out, place is going crazy. And then, you know, we can't execute a PFP that we have done a million times in practice. And, you know, that run scores. And, but they walked us through some wild pitches and we took the lead. And then I was proud of Aaron Groller just being in a tough environment and be able to navigate that. So it's good to go in those extra inning games. It's not fun when you're doing it, but I mean, it does give you more confidence that the one run games and the extra inning games you're in that you have the belief that you can win them.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Coach about Groller, obviously transferred in from Seton Hall as a lefty, and just kind of, maybe what was the recruiting process with him? And he ended up, I think, closing out three games this weekend in the, or this week total in the ninth. So, been a guy who's come on pretty good for you guys.
He has, and he hadn't thrown a pitch live up until the Sunday game, North Carolina. So you're talking about game seven. And, you know, we talk a lot of that with our guys because there's always a guy or two that doesn't play a lot early in the season. And then at the end of the season, you're like, hey, man, that guy's a valuable piece of what you're doing. You know, not just in the locker room, but actually doing it on the field. You know, I was excited to see Charlie Hodges. He hadn't pitched in over a year, and the way he pitched this weekend, I mean, those stories are good, but he just been steady Eddie. He throws strikes. You have to, you know, beat him. You have to hit him to beat him because he's not going to put you on base, and he can change speeds and throw all of his pitches in different counts. So the recruiting process, AK probably have to tell you more than Jeff, but all I knew was, hey, we want to take this left-handed pitcher. He pitched at Seton Hall. He was on, I think, Schenck's team this summer, and Schenck really liked him, and it was the quickest commitment once I offered him a scholarship on the phone. I think the conversation was like 2 minutes, and he was like, Coach, I'm coming. I was like, this is awesome, because it was like a Saturday night at like 9:30 or something when I was talking to him, maybe 8 o'clock, but it seemed late. And he's like, Coach, I'm in. I'm like, awesome, dude. Let's go. So it was pretty quick once AK and Jeff identified him.
And it's worked out pretty good, definitely, for both parties, for Aaron Groller and the Pirates. Coach, and then this weekend, 17-3 win on Friday, 8-0 Saturday, 8-6 on Sunday. So three different games, but Pirates take care of business and got a ton of guys in Friday. Obviously, great pitching performances from Root and Savage. Just how would you kind of, as you look back at the weekend as a whole, assess the final non-conference series before you guys start league play next weekend?
I thought Friday, that our guys off the bench actually played better than our guys that we started the game with. I just felt like, you know, we were up 4-1 in the fifth, and then we put up a four spot, however we got that, to make it 8-1. And then I thought the guys came off the bench and just really had tough at bats. And, you know, Walker Barron has his first two collegiate hits, has his RBI. Chaz we've been working with him just. He's been letting the ball get a little too deep, and he puts together like a 10 or 11 pitch at bat, ends up walking. I think Kobe Wallace walked a couple of times. Nick Parham got hit by pitch, was the RBI. So it's just really cool to see those guys. Of course, Parker Bird getting another at bat and, you know, almost hitting a double down the right field line. Would have been – the place would have gone crazy if that would have happened. But just really proud of the way the guys off the bench played on Friday. Saturday, I felt, you know, Root was – a little rusty early, and, you know, everybody, I'm sure, freaked out when I ran out to the mound with Logan, our athletic trainer, but his body language just looked a little off, and he was shaking his arm and snapped his fingers. So AK and I were talking, and he threw one pitch, and I was like, hey, man, we got to go talk to him. So that's why I ran out. And, of course, Root was like basically looking at me like, Coach, why are you out here? And I said, well, you look like your arm's like you're doing some weird mannerism. So, AK and I were worried about your arm hurting. Are you like, swear to God that your arm's not bothering me? He goes, Coach, I'm fine. I just need to get out front more. So I was like, all right. So we ran back in the dugout. But that was a little bit nerve-wracking. And but I thought he did a great job. I thought Shink did a great job. And Columbia is really good offensively. Just our pitchers the first 2 days did a really good job. I know their coach was frustrated with them, but it's not easy to navigate Trey Savage, Zach Root, and Shink. I mean, it's just not. And then yesterday, I thought Jake was okay. I think we've got to help Jake. I actually talked to him last night, not to be too personal. He's just got too many thoughts going through his head. And once he gets his fastball command back, I think you know, he's going to hit a different level. I mean, we know he can do it. I mean, he pitched really good against UNC, who is a great offensive team. So, but Danny pitched well. Eric Ritchie, super proud of him yesterday because he comes in, we make an error to lead off the inning. And also there is a, I mean, it went down the scorebook as a wild pitch, but Jay Devote, he blocks that ball normally. I mean, that's what his job is. And he didn't give up a run, and normally when Eric has any adversity, then he's at least going to give up a run. So I was proud of him for that. And, you know, three of his last four outings have been unbelievable. Richie's have been. So super proud of him. And then Jaden just got behind some hitters, and, you know, guy gets a swing off, which that's how college baseball is now. But he'll be fine. And then proud of Aaron, you know, just been able to manage it. Yeah, he gave him a two-run homer, but, I mean, we're up four. So – and a big piece was Carter Cunningham's two-out RBI with two strikes with Shaq on second to make it a four-run game instead of a three-run game in the ninth yesterday, which was huge. So, overall, super proud of our guys. I mean, it's not easy to win college baseball games. I mean, you look across the country, it doesn't matter what the name on the front of your jersey is. It's just hard to win.
Cliff Gobin with us, our weekly visit here on Monday mornings on 94.3 The Game. And, Coach, I wanted to ask about that Sunday role. Obviously, it was TBA starting pitching-wise going into Sunday, and I know Hunter was at least in the bullpen some. You know, I don't know if he was throwing, but I know he was down there the first couple of days. So is it just kind of a – will it be kind of a wait-and-see approach on Sundays for the next few weeks, or is that, you know, kind of to be determined?
Yeah, we'll see. One of the reasons, not the only one, I mean – we know Jake can do it, so sometimes, you know, AK and I get frustrated because we've seen him be really good. So we've got to do a better job of helping him, which we are, for sure. But the other reason was Shink was not available on Friday, so Jake didn't throw a ton of pitches the weekend before, so we wanted him to be available in the bullpen on Friday night in case we needed him to come out of the bullpen. And if we'd have done that, then most likely he would not have started on Sunday. So, but since he hadn't pitched, we felt like that was our best option.
offensively, coach, we had Carter Cunningham on the show at Tiebreakers last week, and he kind of poked fun at Riley Johnson, saying that he wouldn't hit a home run. And what does he do? He goes out and hits two in the same weekend. So I know maybe that's not, you know, Riley's game. He's always had a little bit of pop, though, a little bit more pop than people give him credit for. But how cool is it to see Riley leave the yard twice?
It's cool, but hey, you guys don't be pumping up his head. He's a home run hitter. He'll start popping out all the time. But I was actually more impressed with the one yesterday because the wind was not blowing out to right field. And when he hit it, I thought it would get in the gap, but I didn't know. And then, I mean, it hit the scoreboard. I was like, man, you know, kind of myself, man, that's a little extra power than I anticipated from Riley Johnson. But he's just done a great job for us hitting in that leadoff spot. And he's really taken every day as a gift, and I say this a lot, but I wish that you guys could see behind the scenes what he has to do every day before the game, after practice, after the games. I would tell you that he probably spends between 2 and 5 hours on either side of practice or games in the training room just to be able to go out and perform, which is amazing.
Carter Cunningham, we've talked about a lot. He obviously goes dead center for his 6th home run, but I almost feel like he's hitting the ball so well, coach, that we're not even talking about JC a whole lot, but he's hitting .397, and he's had a ton of quality at bats, and he's hitting the ball over the field. Just what have you seen from Jacob Jenkins-Cowart earlier this season?
JC has just done a better job of competing for sure and being a great teammate. And I was talking to John Gordon yesterday, and I said, in my experience, when guys are older and they really get caught up in worrying about is the team ready to play or the young guys need help, whatever, it just frees them up because they're not worried about the internal pressure of, hey, what do I have to do to be successful? And JC's done a great job. Also, he's grown a ton in his faith. He was one of our guys that got baptized on the Saturday we had our banquet, which – he did that on his own. Coach Godwin did not force him to do that. Like I've said a lot to people, nobody knew I was getting baptized that day. It was just Blake and I, and actually Carter Cunningham, because Blake told him, not me. But so it's just been cool to watch those guys grow in their faith and just play freely. And he's been a great teammate and a great competitor.
You guys did have John Gordon, you know, around the game yesterday, and I saw him with the ECU shirt. So what was that experience like, having him come and speak to the team?
Well, I go, you know, how I am. I'm day to day. So I woke up yesterday morning going, holy crap, like John Gordon's really coming to Greenville, North Carolina. And 10 years ago, I thought that would never happen. And shame on me for not believing God could allow anything to happen. And just so thankful that he was around our guys. And he's better than advertised, the message to our guys. And it kind of went all over the place. But the different stories of him being involved with people that from the outside looking in are super successful. We talked about a family friend whose child was Olympian, and also the family's worth $100 million, and the kid's thinking about committing suicide just because he's got bad thoughts going through his head, and just been able to help people like that, and just with their mindsets, it's amazing stuff. And we all know that the mind is the strongest part of the body, and whatever the thoughts are, if they're bad, man, you're going to have negative thoughts. If they're positive, they're going to be positive thoughts. And not that everything in the world is positive, but he talks about an antenna. And you either have bad thoughts or good thoughts coming in, and they're not necessarily your thoughts. And you can go, hey, I didn't say that. You have to talk to yourself instead of listen to yourself. So just amazing. And, man, just I have to pinch myself again. And he's going to be speaking at lunch again today. And so thankful I'm having the opportunity to learn stuff. But the community of Greenville as well.
Cliff Godwin with us. A few more things for Coach. We'll get him out of here. And another challenging week, Coach. It feels like y'all are on the road a lot earlier this season. I don't know if that's by design or just how it's worked out.
It does. Hey, I've said that like to myself. I try not to say it to our guys, but I think not being home those two VCU games has made it feel worse, you know, that we just are playing on the road a lot. But I tell you what, it does feel good when we're home because of that. When we do play at home, you're like, oh, man, yeah, we're finally back home. So it's cool. So, yeah, but 4 road games this week. It'll be obviously a tough challenge at Elon on Tuesday. And then going to UTSA, I know they'll be ready to face the Pirates for the first time in a conference series. So we're excited about that.
For Tuesday, I assume, Coach, it'll be another bullpen day. Or what's kind of your thoughts there on pitching?
Yeah, bullpen day, for sure. I haven't talked to AK this morning, but I'm assuming that Chris Kaler will probably get the ball tomorrow night since he didn't pitch this weekend. But we will make it official here in a little bit.
UTSA, as you said, on the road. And, Coach, I know, look, you always worry about yourself more than the opponent, but is it at least – do you have to do any extra homework going into the series when y'all play UTSA, UAB, FAU, you know, new teams that y'all haven't seen, you know, just as far as like learning maybe their style or how they might approach the game going into a series?
Well, obviously there's less familiarity than us playing Cincinnati 15 times in a year. So, you know, we felt like we knew those guys pretty good. But it's no different than playing, you know, Columbia, playing Ryder, playing Southeastern Louisiana. I mean, we always do our homework, but the focus is always on us if we, you know, play our brand of baseball. But, you know, I think the neat thing for us is we've never been there. So getting there on Thursday night and just practicing, and I think our guys are going to be for an eye-opening experience because, you know, their facility isn't as nice as ours, and that's fine, but it should – hey, make our guys thankful for what they have when we're able to come back home. And I heard it's a tough place to play, which is another great opportunity for us. So we'll see when we get there. But our focus right now is getting our guys prepared for tomorrow and being ready to go on the road and play a good Elon team.
And Roadrunner Field will be the destination this coming weekend. What happens as far as the travel roster, Coach, with the conference rules? Do you guys have to reduce it when y'all go on the road like this or for conference games?
Yeah, we do. So you can travel 30 players. You know, 30 people can be on well, I should say this. 30 people can be on the roster that you pass in on Thursday night. You can change it Friday morning if you have an injury at practice or something. But the conference rule is you have to have that 30-man roster. So it went from 27 to 30 this year. The coaches fought hard on that for that because, you know, if your entire roster is going to be 40, it's one thing to leave 10 guys home. It's another thing to leave, you know, 13. And people might not think that's a big difference, but, you know, we always talk about student athlete welfare and giving them a great experience, but then we're only allowed to travel 27, and we didn't feel good about that. So we're thankful our conference expanded it to 30.
No doubt. He is head coach Cliff Goblin. Coach, we appreciate the time on this Monday morning and every Monday of each week. We appreciate it. Congrats on the 4-0 week. Good luck with the week ahead.
Thanks, Igo. No doubleheader tonight.
Yeah, no doubleheader. I guess we're talking football, I believe, at tiebreakers.
Hey, awesome. Hey, I can use tonight off. I appreciate
it. Yeah, go enjoy a little bit of downtime maybe. But we appreciate it, Coach.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Igo.